Wednesday, March 28th. This is After Hours, our podcast on demand anytime. We so miss you after 10, Allie Mack. Is that not right?
Absolutely. But you don't ever have to be without us as long as you find our After Hours podcast.
And you are here. We thank you for that. Cadillac Jack representing 470.
404. I'm Allie Mack.
Chase 706 up in the North Georgia Mountains. And hello to 770 and 404 as we get underway. Coming up, we had Kara in the studio this morning. Kara had a baby in a car.
Kara is my spin instructor at Burn. And I went to a class. She was 9 months pregnant. She's like, this baby is not coming. The next time I saw her, or next time I heard about her, she had a baby in her husband's car.
The corner of Northside and Longwood. Very interesting visit with Kara this morning. Do you think it costs more? What's the difference in cost of having a baby on the side of the road versus having a baby in the hospital? That's something I'd like to get to the bottom of, because you think you save a lot of money that way.
And how's the car doing?
Plus, I had to call out 3/4 of the commuters 400 southbound yesterday morning around 8 o'clock when the funeral procession for former U.S. Senator, Georgia Governor, father of the Hope Scholarship, Zell Miller, they took his body, brought his body from Young Harris up in the North Georgia Mountains down to Peachtree United Methodist Church for the first of two services yesterday. My wife was one of those that had the gall to jump in the funeral procession so that she could get down 400 southbound as fast as she could. And she said, two hands on the wheel, trucking 90 miles an hour. I must say this, Allie Mack, just for clarification. This is how she pitched it to me last night at the dinner table, that she waited until the last Georgia State Patrol car had gone through. There were hundreds of motorcycle policemen. Then there were, you know, family sedans with flags on them to identify them. There was the hearse, then a final Georgia State Patrol car. And she claims it's okay to do once the funeral procession is passed.
But you're going to shame everyone.
I am. Everybody that did it. I was truly appalled. Hey, then we are going to play America's favorite silly little game called Can't Be Catty, a 20-second pop culture trivia showdown. We had Ben back this morning.
Yeah. So yesterday, Ben was on, and he's only 17 years old. I didn't know that. And the category was all about beer.
Inappropriate.
So today's category was all about candy.
And I was waiting for him to tell us. I was waiting for him to tell us that he had diabetes. He had the sugars or something to get out of plan today. We'll begin After Hours, Cadillac Jack and Allie Mack with free range parenting. Very hot topic right now because Utah just passed a law, Allie Mack, saying, you know what? It's okay to be a free range parent.
Apparently, it's a progressive way to raise a child to have independence.
Let's get underway right now. After Hours, Cadillac Jack and Allie Mack. I'm not going to tell you how to parent, how you should parent. Cadillac Jack with Allie Mack, Kix 101.5. There is no question at all that parenting can be very difficult. Parenting is an ever-changing process. Your parenting style often changes, Allie Mack. I'm a 44-year-old father of three. I am not a fan of free-range parenting. You may disagree. That's the great thing about the show. Let me tell you why I do not think it's a good idea. I think that society has absolutely changed through the years. I was a latchkey kid growing up. What about you?
No, not so much. I always had a parent at home.
Okay. Latchkey kid, meaning when I got home from school, my mother was still at school. She was a public school teacher my entire life. And so I had a key, latchkey, and I would let myself in. I would fix my own snack. I would watch Guiding Light. I would decide, you know, what I wanted to do for dinner and all that kind of stuff. And then mom would come home, and I was grew up in a family of divorced parents. So my mom was there, but only after she got home from work. That's latchkey kids. Now, free-range parenting. I think that because the world is more unsafe than it was years ago, leaving kids unmonitored means exposing them to more dangers and threats. Let me give you an example. My daughters, 8th and 6th grade, play softball. Even at 14 and a half years old, my 8th grader, Olivia, at practice once a week, her practice is tonight, as a matter of fact. I or my wife, Donna, will stay the entire time, sitting in the bleachers, watching the practice, and no other parent is there. Other parents just drop and roll, drop off and then leave. I can't do that. My wife and I have an agreement that in today's society, you just can't do that. But a parent who practices free-range parenting would do just that, drop them off, and then head to Starbucks, sit down and return some emails on your laptop, and then come back and pick them up after practice.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with free-range parenting, it's the concept of raising a child, encouraging them to function independently and with very little parental supervision.
Utah is now the first state to pass a law allowing children to participate in activities without any adult supervision. The so-called free-range parenting law allows kids to do things like play outside, ride their bike, or take a walk alone without parents facing any neglect charges. According to USA Today, Utah Governor Gary Herbert signed the measure into law last week. In a statement, the governor said, quote, "Absence evidence of clear danger, abuse, or neglect, we believe that parents have the best sense of how to teach responsibility to their children."
So how young is too young? At what age are children responsible enough to make their own choices, and when do they actually still need the guidance of a parent, the guidance of a mom or a dad?
Yeah, Caddy, it's probably so specific to each child. You know each child is different in how you parent them,
sure.
Right? Right? So I think what all this comes down to is everything in life, it's the same rule, moderation, a healthy balance of everything. Like free-range parenting can be taken to the extreme. It could be a neglect issue. But then if you're more involved with the child, that could be taken to the extreme too. If you're a scooch over on the helicopter parent like side of it, there are problems there too. So there's got to be a healthy balance there.
See, everywhere that I look on the internet or everywhere I have this conversation with other parents, that's where it always goes. The balance. Find a balance. I don't think so. I don't think that you can find a healthy balance between free-range parenting and being very active with your kids and leading them. And I think that free-range parenting can make your kids lazy. And I think that there is the possibility of neglect. And that's why free-range parenting is back in the news, because you just heard Utah has passed a law saying you can't mess with the parents if they are practicing free-range parenting. You cannot arrest them. There are examples, plenty of examples, in the past where parents have been arrested.
Right.
Because a neighbor has called 911 and said, oh my goodness, there's a child walking down the street by themselves. Examples everywhere of that. So what does a child therapist think about free-range parenting?
Yeah, this is Dr. Dave Anderson giving his tips about free-range parenting.
Free-range parenting is, you know, on the extreme kind of progressive end of parenting philosophies. It's not necessarily science. And parents want their kids to be independent, want to give opportunities to explore. But for any parent, that's going to be a personal decision. If your 12-year-old is capable of walking home from the bus stop by themselves, that's something that you might make a decision about, where another 12-year-old may be a little bit too impulsive.
That is Dr. Dave.
Yeah, Dr. Dave Anderson giving tips on free-range parenting. I think on the broad spectrum of parenting, you would have free-range on one side, you'd have helicopter on one side, and you got to have a balance. I'm not a parent, so I don't know. In all my years of experience, that's what I would do, though.
I'm afraid that free-range children become too laid back and lack the competitive edge in school, which you have to have the competitive drive in order to go into college, and you know, you want your transcripts and all that to represent the fact that not only were you a great student, but you were active in different clubs, you were active in different sports. And again, you're not just letting your kids run free after the bell rings. There's some sort of guidance from the school, being protected by the school, or being protected by a mom or a dad. Free-range parenting, the conversation we're having, Cadillac Jack and Allie Mack.
And free-range parenting, it was just legalized in Utah. It is supposed to bring about more independence in a child. It's the concept of raising children in the spirit of encouraging them to function independently with very little parental supervision.
What does child therapist Dr. Dave Anderson think about free-range parenting?
It would be to start with well-worn paths, parts of the community that are really well-known to a family, where a kid knows the rules, they might know other people in that particular area, and where you can, you know, practice a little bit beforehand. So you go to the playground together a few times, you practice the walk home while a parent's trailing a child, yeah. And then maybe you let them walk home from the bus stop by themselves.
Kix 101.5's Cadillac Jack and Allie. Matt, good morning.
Well, I actually know a girl who is a completely free-range parent. And her children are some of the worst behaved kids I've ever been around.
In what way?
They are just completely wild. They have no respect for any adult. And I have an 8-year-old who I had to actually remove from them because he would go around and they would tell him, like, oh, you don't have to listen to your mom. She's dumb. You don't have to do that. Come do whatever we want to do. And my son actually came to me and said, I'm so glad that you actually tell me what to do, because it shows that you love me instead of just letting me run wild. I'm Kelsey from Dallas.
Kelsey and Paulton, thank you so much. We appreciate you calling.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Free-range parenting is the conversation we're having. Cadillac Jack and Allie Mack.
I think it's a really bad idea. I have a 17-year-old son at home. Admittedly, he's a great kid. He can make great decisions, but as you said, each child is different. A lot of parents use free-range parenting as just a cop-out not to have to deal with their kids. So you have to walk a fine line of making sure your kid's prepared to react as an adult rather than just acting as a spoiled, rotten child. Kids have to be taught the right way to make the right decisions. If you're not involved, they're not going to make good decisions.
I think that with free-range parenting, there can often be a degree of neglect and even a lack of interest in your child or kid's safety.
Exactly.
Thank you for all of the calls. A great conversation. Free-range parenting back in the news, back in your mind, because Utah just passed a law, first state to do so, saying free-range parenting, we are okay with it.
Yes.
Because in the past, there have been parents have been arrested for letting their kids run wild as free-range kids.
Still to come on Cadillac Jack and Allie Mac Mornings.
All right, let's switch gears. There's a baby in the car. She had a baby in the car.
I knew she was coming. I told my husband to pull over. I picked up my phone. I called 911.
Can you imagine? Whoa. Can you imagine being a mile and a half from the hospital and you can't make it?
No.
And you have a baby in the car. Kara is in studio with us coming up at 7:20. About a month ago, she gave birth to a baby in a car.
I mean, this is an unbelievable story. Kara's a friend of mine, and I could not believe this story.
We got a whisper because the baby's sleeping. It's Cadillac Jack, Allie Mac, Kicks 101.5.
So in studio with us today, we have a good friend of mine, Kara. She teaches at Burn. That is how I know Kara.
Good morning.
And I was shocked when I went in because the last time I saw you, 9 months pregnant. And then I went in and Jeremy, who works at Burn, told me you had your baby in the car.
That I did. Whoops.
Wow. Take us there. When was it?
February 7th.
Did your water break?
My water broke when we were leaving for the hospital.
So were you going to be induced and that's why you left before your water broke?
No, I had actually planned on going naturally this time, which I did not do with my first two pregnancies. And so I labored at home as long as possible.
Okay.
Which clearly was just a little bit too long. We live about 3 miles from Piedmont Hospital and we were exactly halfway there. Well, so my water broke as we were leaving, literally, like the bags were packed. My husband was sitting in the driver's seat and I was like, hold on a second. And so, yeah, I guess once that happened, there was no stopping her. I knew she was coming. I told my husband to pull over. I picked up my phone. I called 911. So they were on the line with us. But yeah, it just sort of happened.
What sort of happened, if you don't mind me?
We're I don't know how much detail you want me to go into.
You know what? I'll lead you.
There you go. Questions are better. How about that?
Visiting with Kara, who is Allie Mac's burn squat instructor.
Yeah. Yes, squat. Yes, burn squat.
And about a month ago, Kara, you had a baby on the way to the hospital on the side of the road.
Side drive.
Yeah, what was the exact, like, what are the coordinates?
For my Atlanta friends who are familiar, it was the corner of Northside Drive and Longwood Drive, right by Bobby Jones Golf Course.
So you're on your way to Piedmont, you pull over about halfway there, and Maeve is the month-old baby that you had on the side of the road. Where was Maeve during this? Was she present?
I'll give you the timeline. I called 911 at 6:33. My husband got out of the front seat of the car, walked around the hood of the car, opened up the passenger door, and he was telling the 911 operator where we were. And he said, the way he explains it, he was a total rock star, by the way. He doesn't get enough credit in this situation. I looked away for 1 second, and then I looked back, and she had a baby in her arms. So I held her. She was crying right away, which is a good sign.
Sure,
you
always
know they're
good.
Breathing,
yeah, yeah.
And fortunately enough, had a towel from Burn in my husband's front seat. So I wiped her off with a little white towel, and she looked up at me, so I knew she was fine. We told the 911 operator that, you know, the baby had been born, and he said, okay, stay put. Do you have anything to clamp the umbilical cord with? We said no.
You don't carry a clothespin around?
Yeah, you know, I said the exact same thing to my husband. Where are your binder clips?
Yeah.
And, you know, so he stayed on the phone with the 911 operator, and then I said to him, get back in the car. We're going to the hospital. And the 911 operator was like, no, stay where you are.
We'll
the,
come to you.
The ambulance is on the way. And I said, nope, we'll get there faster. So we were at the hospital within 3 or 4 minutes, I believe it was. And as soon as we got there, it was like, nobody. And I told my husband, you know, run inside, grab a doctor, grab a nurse. And then like a second later, a swarm of doctors and nurses came basically stampeding at our car. And so my husband cut the umbilical cord right there on the spot.
Like in the lobby.
Like actually in the parking lot, in the driveway of Piedmont Hospital.
From the last I remember, every time I went to one of your classes, you're like, I might be here next week. And then you were there next week. You're like, well, maybe I'll be here next week. It just seemed like little Maeve didn't want to come.
And then all of a sudden.
And then all of a sudden she was ready.
Wow, I'm serious. I'm blown away by the story. Kara's in studio. We're whispering because the baby's in the studio. Kara is Allie Mack's spin instructor. And you, about a month ago, had Maeve from the corner of Northside and Northside and what? Langford Parkway?
Longwood Drive.
Longwood Drive.
Yep.
Longwood Drive.
Right by Piedmont.
Let's talk about the bond that you as a mother and Maeve maybe have now and will continue to have because you literally delivered your daughter. Mm-hmm. What's the difference in the first two kids and Maeve? Can you tell anything different?
Not yet. It did make the experience way different than the first two, which is kind of cool because when you have multiple children, that's hard to do. It's hard to make the, you know, delivery experience different. I would say I nailed it.
As did your husband.
But one of the things that, the whole situation.
Thank you.
But one of the things.
The birthing of the baby.
One of the things
where's
that
your mind?
A lot of moms out there will know is they encourage skin-to-skin contact between a mother and
Absolutely.
A baby. And unfortunately, when we arrived at the hospital, I was fully closed, and they took Maeve away and did all her vitals and all that, and I didn't see her for an hour and a half. They didn't bring her back. She was born at 6:33. I think I saw her again at 8 o'clock that night, and that was actually one of the things that kind of upset me was I missed that initial time of, you know, bonding. And...
But Kara, I think that the experience that you had with Maeve by giving literally birthing her yourself, that's going to create a bond.
I
cannot imagine the bond that will be created by, you know, with mother and daughter.
Yeah, it's a great story.
And how old are your other two children?
I have a 5-year-old boy, Finn,
uh-huh,
and then a 3-year-old, Catherine.
So how did you explain to them?
There's been a lot of spinning going on in the house.
They know she was born in the car. I'm not sure they're old enough to really comprehend that. I'm sure when they're older, they'll be in a little bit more shock about what actually happened. You know, they think it's kind of cool that mom's on the radio today. You know, those are the things that excite 5-year-olds and 3-year-olds.
You know, I bet it'll come from like their peers as they get older.
Absolutely.
And they tell the story. They'll explain the magnitude of the situation. Yeah.
And I'm sure there are other women out there that have done the same thing. And
I get a news article about once a week from a family member that, you know, is like, oh, this woman in Maryland had her baby in a
trunk.
Right,
you're not unique.
No, you're not as special as you think you are.
There are three main questions that you get, Kara,
correct,
from people more than any other. Okay.
Number one, how did the car make out? That's the one that my husband gets all the time.
Wait a minute, make out. Like, you know
what I mean.
Detail. Like getting it detailed afterwards.
So funny part of the story is when I had that feeling that my water was going to break, I instructed my husband to run inside and grab a towel because I want to save your car. He grabbed this enormous blanket from our family room that his parents had given us. Sorry, Big B and KK. It was from their golf club, but it was huge. And so when we got to the hospital, one of the nurses picked up the blanket and like threw it in the garbage. And she said, nicely done. So that's the first question that we always get. Second question is it cheaper to have a baby in a car than it is to have a baby
that's an awesome
in
question.
A hospital? We get it a lot more than you would think. We haven't run the numbers yet, so I'll get back to you on that. I thought for sure if an ambulance shows up, this is going to end up being our most expensive delivery, but, you know, we avoided that one too.
Well, but ambulance services charge you by the mile. So,
so there you go. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then the third question, which is a little graphic maybe, there's a little something called the afterbirth, and that happened at the hospital. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
That did not happen in the car. So those are the top three.
I can't help but think that it would be cheaper to have a baby on the side of the road than in the hospital.
I mean, because you did the work. You don't have to pay anyone for labor.
That's right.
Anesthesia is one of the biggest expenses, or epidural.
That actually is. I learned that when I was researching natural childbirth. That anesthesiologists.
Oh, they make
those
the
are
bank.
The ones that
they make bank.
They're the ones that get you.
Allie, you need to find you an anesthesiologist.
I'll look on Bumble.
I might go back to work to become a no. I'm just kidding. Yes, that's the way to go.
Well, we appreciate you coming in, and we'll take some pictures and get them on all the social media channels of Kara and her beautiful daughter Maeve that she had on the side of the road, Northside and
Longwood Drive.
Longwood Drive.
Got a lot of friends that live on Longwood.
That'd be the city of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we appreciate you coming in very much.
Thank you for having me.
Phenomenal story.
For us, having us, rather. Thank you.
Great, great story. Kicks 115's Cadillac Jack and Allie Mack, Atlanta's number one for country hits and 4K a day. Kicks 115. Quite a story from Kara. And you can see her beautiful baby on all of the social media channels. Baby's name is Maeve. And you can see pictures of mom and baby and Allie Mack and myself on all of the Kix 115 social media channels.
Yeah, you'll be able to see those along with hearing the full visit with Kara and her incredibly compelling story. You don't want to miss a second of it. Text the word car baby, one word, C-A-R-B-A-B-Y, to the number 68255. You'll see pictures of Maeve and Kara and get that full visit.
Both the entire visit on your phone for you to enjoy. Former U.S. Senator, former Georgia governor, the father of the HOPE scholarship, which has sent so many Georgians to college for free if you have a particular GPA showing that you're a hard worker and you're determined and you are in it to win it, laid to rest yesterday. Memorial services, there were two of them. Three presidents in town yesterday, Allie Mack.
Mm-hmm. It's a big deal.
Paying respect to Zell Miller, including President George H.W. Bush.
In 2004, Zell Miller stood up to speak for me. Now it's my honor to speak for him.
Absolutely. We had this conversation at the dinner table last night, and I was appalled. My wife works downtown. Mm-hmm. She has a long commute, no kidding, probably 2 hours every day from Haynesbridge down to, she works at as downtown Atlanta as you can get.
Like Baker Street,
yes.
Downtown. Yes, yes, yes,
yes. And so she was telling me yesterday at the dinner table that there were people, like hundreds of people, that when the Zell Miller funeral procession was coming down from Young Harris, 400 southbound,
yeah,
that jumped in line, jumped into the funeral procession so that they get to work on time or sooner, because the funeral procession was in the left lane going 90 miles an hour.
Okay.
And so there were hundreds of motorcycle police officers in the front. Then there was family that, yeah, that cars had flags on them,
right,
to identify them. And then there was the hearse. And then there was one final GSP car, Georgia State Patrol. And after the GSP car, it's not funny. After the GSP car, there were hundreds of 400 southbound commuters that knew what to do. And that was get in line as fast as you can and draft like the Daytona 500, draft behind former U.S. Senator, former Georgia governor, and father of the HOPE scholarship, Zell Miller's funeral procession. Are you kidding me? I was raised in the South. Good morning, it's Cadillac Jack. I was raised, doesn't matter if it's an interstate, doesn't matter if it's a two-way highway, doesn't matter if it's a former Georgia governor, a senator and father of the HOPE scholarship, or just someone goes to church with you. Doesn't matter their role in the world. You pay respect to them. And it just made me sad.
Is there any way you could look for the benefit of the doubt with these people that were doing this?
No. How can you justify,
Allie? I'm not trying to justify anything. I'm just trying to, there's a reason behind every action. Someone has something pushing them, something that compels them to do things. And maybe that just speaks to how our society is right now. We feel that pressure to get to work on time and make sure we're there so that the boss doesn't notice we're a few minutes late, and regardless of what the reason is. Because if they were late and they said, well, there's a funeral procession and I was paying my respect and I was, hanging back, the boss would have come back with, well, you knew that was going to be happening. So I think it just speaks to how society is right now and how much pressure everyone feels. Maybe.
Well, if that's the case, it's a shame. It is truly a shame. I heard from a certain particular person who shall remain nameless right now, my wife, Donna. And she said yesterday that you had to hold the steering wheel with two hands at 10 and 2 because you were literally going 90 miles an hour. How does she know? Because she was one of those that jumped in after the last Georgia State Patrol car.
No.
And people were boxing one another out. Once you were in that lane and drafting at 90 miles an hour down 400 southbound, and then they got off at, the procession got off at Peachtree.
Okay.
Down the connector, or be 400 southbound to City Marcus, I guess, and then cut over to Peachtree. People were boxing one another out. They would not let other people in because they knew they were winning it.
Right.
They were in it to win. They were going 90 miles. No one has ever gone 90 miles an hour, 400 southbound during a morning commute here in Atlanta, Georgia, until yesterday. And I think it's appalling that the way it was done was drafting behind Zell Miller's funeral procession, 400 southbound. Wednesdays, we play Candy Caddy, a 20-second pop culture trivia showdown around this time. Let's get underway. Play along in the car.
Candy Caddy.
As you start your commute, hopefully not 75 southbound.
Candy Caddy.
Way Green, 285 through Cherokee and Cobb.
Candy Caddy.
70-minute commute right now.
Caddy's the man, you gotta be.
Hey, Caddy, you remember when I asked you your opinion? Yeah, me neither.
Nah, Ben, wow. Did you hear that one in the locker room yesterday?
All right. Now, today's category, since yesterday was beer, it was inappropriate because Ben is 17 years old and knew nothing about beer. Today's category, tons of candy, is going to be floating around this weekend with Easter on the way. And one Cadbury cream egg, the calories equal 20 minutes of jumping rope. Just keep that in mind. So today's category is going to be all about candy.
I'm in. All right.
All right.
Now, hang on. Now Ben's going to tell us he's diabetic. He's got the sugars.
Now, Ben, if you get more questions right than Caddy, you win. If Caddy gets more right than you, he wins. And remember, all ties go to Caddy because it's not called Can't Tie Caddy. It's called...
What?
Can't Beat Caddy.
All right. And it's not fair for Caddy to hear the questions I'm about to ask you, so why don't you tell Caddy to leave the main stage?
Caddy, can you leave the main stage, please?
I'm headed out, Ben, and I'll be back for this big rematch.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Caddy is out, Ben, and your 20-second timer will start after I finish asking you the first question. Here we go. What health nut country artist refuses to touch candy because discipline is something he's good at?
Pass.
In what app were you really lucky if you got a color bomb or a wrapped candy?
Candy Crush.
If given a choice, what guy with a girl country singer will grab a 100 grand bar?
Pass.
What band released an album in 2015 called Meat and Candy?
Dominican pass.
Oh, I know what you're trying to say, and that's
Dominican
timer.
Republic.
I know what you're trying to say, and that's not it,
Old
though.
It was Old Dominion.
No.
See what, Ben?
Don't say anything. Don't say it. Don't say it. Caddy is back in. All right, Caddy. Ben from Cumming got one right.
Okay, a little better. One better than yesterday.
So, Caddy, you have 20 seconds to get at least one right. Category is candy. What health nut country artist refuses to touch candy because discipline is something he's good at?
Justin Lynch.
In what app were you really lucky if you got a color bomb or a wrapped candy?
Candy Crush.
If given a choice, what guy with a girl country singer will grab a 100
Blake
grand
Shelton.
Bar? What band released an album in 2015 called Meat and Candy?
Old Dominion.
If there's candy around, what country artist says, yep, that's where it's at?
Justin Lynch.
And that's timer.
So I got the first one wrong.
Yeah, let's go over that first question again. What health nut country artist refuses to touch candy because discipline is something he's good at? That would be Brett Eldridge. The hint was something I'm good at.
I see. I hear that now.
Yeah, I should have sang it. All right, that brings the tally to Ben from Cumming. You got one right, and Caddy got four right.
Wow, that Cadillac Jack. He's on fire as the win count goes to 8 in a row.
He's unbeatable.
That's right.
Ben had trouble with the Old Dominion answer. He was saying Dominican Republic. I know what you were trying to say.
You had history class on your mind later this morning.
All right, Ben, we can't let you get away without saying those magic words to Caddy.
I'm Ben from Cumming, and I can't beat Caddy.
Day two in a row, so we're going to cut you loose, man. Tomorrow's Thursday. We'll play primetime Candy Caddy around 7:15. Would love for you to sign up to become a challenger. Text keyword Caddy, C-A-D-D-Y. To the number 68255. So two losses in 2 days for 17-year-old Ben, who goes to high school in Cumming in Forsyth County.
He does not get another try. Sorry, Ben.
We're done. Cadillac Jack's win streak goes to, Allie, if you don't mind, spin over there and make that 7 and 8.
Working on it.
Okay,
oh,
thank
I can't
you.
Reach.
Tomorrow on Thursday's Candy Caddy's primetime, 7:15. You want to sign up to be my challenger, text the keyword Caddy, C-A-D-D-Y, to the number 68255. Tomorrow, huge day. Allie, Matt.
We've got Zach Brown Band tickets, and we're going to play the yes game. No matter what we ask you, the answer is yes.
The answer must be yes. Y-E-S. Get ready to say that, 6:20. Opening day for the Braves tomorrow. Braves tickets and a four-pack for Zach Brown Band. Plus, we are going to launch 4K a day at 9.
How much better would your life be if your paycheck had an extra $1,000 in it? It can happen. 4 times a day. First time kicks off at 9 a.m. with us.
Sleep tight. A lot going on tomorrow morning. 5 to 10. Kicks 101.5. And always on demand with After Hours. Cadillac Jack.
I'm Allie Mack.
Kicks 101.5.
the best show in the morning. Cadillac Jack and Ali Mac, Kix 101.5.